Hello, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Crypto. On this episode, we're going to be talking about cryptocurrency taxes for tax filing for the 2019 tax year. And with me today, I have Zach McClure. He is the co-founder of Token Tax. They help folks prepare their cryptocurrency taxes. And for those of you that have followed me for a little bit, I had Zach on last year on OST Live, which is a different podcast that I did. So Zach, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
So let's begin with, what do Americans need to know about cryptocurrency taxes if somebody's just tuning in right now? What are some 3, 4, 5 takeaways that they should know? And then we can dive into the micro details.
Yeah. So first, taxable events all have to be reported. You know, one thing that people don't realize, I actually have a slide of this, is that crypto to crypto trades are taxable events. And if you've bought crypto with dollars, it's correct that that doesn't have to be reported. But then if you bought crypto with another cryptocurrency, that does have to be reported. So another taxable event is selling crypto for fiat. Another taxable event, a third one, is if you spend crypto to buy coffee, to buy software, to buy anything, you have to calculate your gains and losses on that spend. And this hasn't changed, but it was clarified by the IRS at the end of October or the middle of October in 2019. And then additionally, if you receive crypto as income, that's the same as receiving the crypto or receiving dollars as income. That's a taxable event. And if you also mine crypto, that's taxable. Staking crypto is taxable. There's a big debate raging in the community, and shout out to POSA, which is a nonprofit trying to work with the IRS for more sensible taxation and an argument why staking probably arguably doesn't need to be taxed as the same way as ordinary income or mining income. But TBD, what the IRS actually says about that. And then, you know, beyond that, that hasn't changed. The clarifications for 2019 were that specific identification is allowed. Airdrops are supposed to be reported as ordinary income when received, which obviously has caused a lot of alarm in the space because there's many, many airdrops. People don't track all of them. It's understandable with a fork like Bitcoin Cash, you know, even though that guidance came several years after Bitcoin Cash. But what, you know, I think there's been a lot of pushback in the community and try to notify the IRS that trying to comply with reporting every single airdrop, even someone who's doing everything they can, might miss some. And what happens if you don't even know that you got one, et cetera, et cetera. And so those are the basics. But one thing that people don't realize is crypto to crypto trades are taxable events and need to be reported.
Great. And thanks for the insight there. Airdrops are definitely very tricky thing since it's kind of something that sucks right now as something that has to be reported. But jumping into some of the things that happened last year, some of the things that are new last year, many individuals, possibly Coinbase customers that received a letter from the IRS. It was sort of a warning. It was like IRS letter, I believe like 6731. Not sure that's the right number. But at the end of the day, like 10 or 13,000 individuals received letters from the IRS as a warning to file or claim their cryptocurrency gains and losses. Can you tell us what that was all about?
Yeah, there were actually three different letters that went out, 6173, 6174, 6173A. So basically, there are different levels of how offended the IRS was about whether nothing was reported, something was reported, and we've kind of figured out why people got which letter or whatever. But the long and the short of it is that basically Coinbase notified the IRS, this person definitely had crypto activity and may or may not have had to report it on their past year's taxes. So there are some people who got the letters who didn't have taxable events or whatever, and it was just, and everything was fine. But the majority of people who received a letter that said, okay, you need to reply under penalty of perjury within a certain amount of days, those were people that didn't have any crypto reported on their taxes, either as a Schedule D, which is like a capital gain. For all your trades, all your capital gains and losses need to be calculated and put on a Schedule D. And then, or they were not put as a Schedule C if they were mining crypto or getting paid in crypto. And the other letters were more benign, and it was for people who had reported, most likely reported something. The IRS was just saying, hey, make sure your crypto data was reported correctly. We know something was reported or may not have been reported, but just double check and let us know in a shortened amount of time. But yeah, it obviously panicked many people, and there weren't that many letters that went out, but the ripple effects were very large. And now we're starting to see people that didn't even get the letters, but that got 1099s from Coinbase, having the proceeds in the 1099s matched up with what they reported on their 8949s, which is interesting because all of the different crypto exchange data is combined. We're seeing a lot of fallout from the 1099s that people received years back on Gemini and Coinbase just this week, actually, which is interesting.
Great. And would you say part of that letter was sort of just mass messaging, where some people did file their or did claim their crypto, but they just received the letter just as, because it was sort of a mass message?
Yeah, I think hundreds, if not thousands, of people that did their crypto taxes perfectly right still got this letter. But the issue is more that the IRS doesn't have time to track down. You know, Coinbase has 20 million accounts. So the way that we always kind of anticipated they would enforce this is not auditing tons of people, but they're just going to say, hey, you owe us this much. If you disagree, prove it. And they're just going to send thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people a bill for their crypto activity based on the data they get from exchanges or subpoena from exchanges. And so that's where token tax kind of comes in, because people need to track their cost basis. They need to figure out what they pay. They may have bought coins offline, OTC. There's a lot of different ways that things could have happened. You know, just as a, you know, I could show a quick letter about it, but basically a lot of people reported it totally fine. And all they have to do is double check everything. And, you know, we can represent people with the IRS. We can handle all the communications for clients. You know, some people get very scared. You can definitely handle it yourself as well. A lot of people hire attorneys or figure out what they're going to do. But a lot of the letters just ask for, you know, just send in your return, send in, explain how the crypto data is in there. And so we can help people craft those responses.
Great. And something else that was new in 2019 was that the IRS added a sort of checkbox about crypto on the 1040 form. And it states, quote, at any time during 2019, did you receive, sell, send, exchange, or otherwise acquire any financial interest in any virtual currency? Can you break that down and sort of what does that mean and who falls under this checkmark?
Yeah, the way it's written, I think it's deliberately broad to capture everyone who did anything in crypto, you know, even bought, which is not actually a tax, but let's say you just bought with dollars. You actually don't have to report anything. You know, all you did was buy Bitcoin with dollars. You don't have to report anything. So the only people I've seen in crypto who don't have to check that box are maybe people that didn't get any airdrop. They bought crypto in the past, but didn't sell any this year, didn't buy any. But almost everyone in crypto is checking yes on that box, even if they're reporting taxable events or not. And obviously the majority of people have sold some crypto or have something to report related to their crypto activity.
Great. So you could check yes on that box, but you don't necessarily, might not have any taxable events.
It's possible. Yeah. It's rare, but certainly. Like I said, if you just bought Bitcoin one time, you could say technically you did transact in it, or you could find, you know, one of those adjectives that fits. And then the IRS could say, hey, you didn't check yes on that box. That being said, I don't know what the penalties are. You know, there's no gains that need to be reported on just a buy of Bitcoin. But basically, almost everyone is checking yes on that box.
And also, the one on there is the word send, which could be you could just send money between your wallets and you automatically qualify to be required to check that box. Apart from this, are there any other new tax implications or laws from 2019?
Well, all the guidance clarified rules that were already there. So there aren't any new laws per se, but there's just kind of additional clarity. But again, crypto tax community is asking the IRS for even more guidance about was like kind of exchange. People are finally getting audited who filed that way back in 2017. The issue around the forks and the airdrops being reported, you know, kind of makes sense for people coming, haven't done 2017 yet. Okay, we can do the forks as ordinary income, the Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin Gold when it was received. But then there's a materiality threshold with other airdrops. But you'll see new laws pass, you know, if there's a new administration in office after the 2020 election.
Great. And now let's jump into sort of just listing the taxable events. We won't go into micro detail onto each of them, but let's start off with airdrops because that's been a pretty hot topic. And can you tell us sort of why the current law on airdrops is unfavorable?
Honestly, I'd rather not even get into airdrops, but long story short, the IRS is saying when you receive an airdrop, it's a taxable event and you have to report that as income. It's problematic for many reasons. You know, let's say someone creates an airdrop, they have some random trade volume on an exchange, and then they drop it free to millions of people. And somehow the price says on CoinMarketCap it's worth $2. You get 1,000 of them. And then so that the IRS Googled, oh, the price on that day of the airdrop, it was $2. You go to sell it. It's worth nothing. There's nowhere to sell it. Now you have $2,000 in ordinary income. If you sell it, a capital loss, you know, you can't offset a capital loss. Capital losses don't offset ordinary income other than up to $3,000 per year. So if you already have other capital losses, it's a big waste. It's an issue for many reasons. You know, it makes sense for big airdrops that everyone knows about. But the fact is, almost everyone has received a lot of cryptocurrency they didn't even know they got. So if you got it in your Binance wallet and you sold it, that totally makes sense that you got something for it, you sold it. That's actually should be income, certainly. But now you have the timing issues, like, all right, it's income when you got it, then you have a gain or loss from then. Let's just go through all the list of transactions. And I think the IRS is probably going to give additional guidance on airdrops, if anything, because I think they didn't realize the pushback that was going to come from the community. And the outcry of like, oh, report every single airdrop. You know, there have been thousands of them and most people couldn't name a handful.
Yeah, hugely unfavorable. And many times people don't even ask for the tokens they receive.
And you're talking about pennies. Like this is not even really material, but the, you know, people are hiring accountants and telling us, hey, it's going to take hours and hours. We need to look up all the airdrops and there aren't really great ways to do it. So. And then in the end, it's like, and you owe $4 in taxes for all these, you know, and you spend $1,000 or you spend hours and hours of your time. So, and I don't think that was their intention at all. They want common sense, people paying taxes on what they made. And they just didn't want anyone dodging with a loophole of, oh, you got it, but you never did anything with it. Or Bitcoin Cash was received as a fork. And I think that does make sense that I can see the argument that should be sold at zero cost basis whenever someone actually does something with it. But I can see the argument, if you got it, you're holding it, you're staking it, whatever, you're doing something, that was ordinary income when you got it, of at least some value. Now it gets into what is the US dollar equivalent when you got it, but that's a whole nother issue. I mean, I think they work with a number of third parties. You know, we've built our own. We also cross check against all the reputable third parties, but you know, any IRS auditor might be sophisticated or may not. It could just be a local guy in a Philadelphia office and he could just be looking up prices on CoinMarketCap or crypto compare. I think if you're wondering what prices to use, if you're just trying to do your own taxes, those most reputable public prices, that's what the IRS is going to be able to see and point to easily. So if your prices are varying from that for some reason, because you did an OTC trade or whatever, you need to be really cognizant of that and potentially be able to need to advocate for yourself that it's reasonable.
Great. And I think you mentioned by the next year with the new election, maybe there'll be some new, clarification. Do you think the current regulation on airdrops is going to change?
Who knows? Like the IRS gave guidance in 2014 that said, hey, crypto is a property. It's not a currency. The whole point of that was to avoid the de minimis exclusion that currency has, which is, you know, any gain under $200, if you sell euros or sell yen, actual foreign currencies, doesn't have to be reported. It's called the de minimis exclusion. And I think the IRS was kind of worried that people would structure all their trades in crypto in order to have every gain be under that and then use that as a loophole to never pay taxes. So they said, oh, it's property, not currency. And then there's a lot of people on crypto Twitter, accountants, CPAs, attorneys saying, well, since it's property, it's not a security. And, you know, in my mind, I think security is a type of property anyway, but, you know, so people are saying, oh, because of that, wash sale rules and things that apply to securities definitely don't apply to cryptocurrency. You can sell your crypto and there's no wash sale rules. And at Token Tax and myself, I stress much more caution and just common sense. You know, if you're selling crypto at a loss, there's something called a wash sale where if you make a trade, it's very common in stocks where people, you know, hedge funds or big institutional investors, they have a losing position. They look at their portfolio December, they do some tax loss harvesting, they sell Tesla stock that they're down on. But if they bought that within 30 days, the loss is now unrealized. So if they wait 30 days and then buy it back, that's totally fine. So the issue is if you do that in cryptocurrency, what happens? And I think it's a lot more complicated because you have Bitcoin, Ethereum, Binance Coin, mediums of exchange, which you may accidentally wash sale. But I think if you have one coin, you're holding at a really big loss, you sell it and immediately buy it back, then it's much more of a gray area. And so I think I worry that people were getting kind of bad advice on crypto Twitter or seeing, you know, oh, that's an attorney saying that or an accountant. So I think people really need to be a lot more cautious and understand what they're saying or how it's being interpreted by the general public who are not sophisticated tax people or, you know, they're just crypto investors trying to do the right thing. So hopefully the IRS is understanding about that. But that's just one example of the guidance lack from 2014. That's the only thing they said. It's not currency, it's property. How it's been interpreted for 5 years till they gave guidance again in October 2019. So all that to say is the law or any guidance change coming on airdrops soon? Maybe, but probably not. I mean, it took 5 years and 2017 was the really big year. You know, crypto went from 80 billion market cap to, or sorry, up to a billion market cap. So you'd think of if any year they were going to give guidance, it would have been in 2018 when people were doing their 2017 taxes or things like that, but nothing really came out and they were taking their time. They were seeing what industry surfaced and what people decided in private practice, which I think makes a lot of sense, but it would be great to get more clarity and more guidance on the remaining questions, if that makes sense.
Great. And going down the list of taxable events, we have selling, we have trading, converting, swapping, which is essentially the same thing. We went over airdrops, mining, forks. Can you tell us about Coinbase Earn? How would that be taxed?
Yeah, it's just ordinary income. You know, you could debate whether you earned it or not, or you could say, is it other income that you don't owe self-employment tax? Kind of depends. Like, was that your main job? Did you make $30,000 in Coinbase Earn by out there, like, getting people to sign up on Twitter? So, again, as with everything, it's kind of a gray area. But the whole point is, let's say you got crypto. That's income when you got it. And then when you sell it, you calculate the gain from the base after you received it. So you got $10 worth of Bitcoin. You sold it for $12. 8 days later, you had $10 of income or other income or ordinary income and $2 of capital gains. It goes on a different part of your tax return. And again, why this is complicated is if you have a lot of like mining income, for example, capital losses don't wipe that out. So let's say you made 200,000 mining Ethereum throughout the year and the price of Ethereum dropped before you sold it. And then you ended up, you know, making 200,000, like I said, and you go to sell it, it's worth 20,000. So you have a loss of 180,000. But if that's just on your personal taxes, your loss doesn't get wiped out. Your loss doesn't wipe out the income. So you still owe taxes on the 200,000. So let's say your tax rate's 30,000 or 30%, you're owing 60,000 in taxes, and then you have $180,000 loss. So when you sold it, in other words, you only got $20,000. Now you owe 60,000 in taxes. You literally have to take other savings or take a loan or whatever just to pay your taxes. Now you have this $180,000 loss. It only blocks 3,000 of ordinary income and the rest rolls forward. 177,000 rolls forward until it's used to block capital gains or 3,000 of income every year. But you know, you're talking about 60 years until that's used up if you don't have any other capital gains. And so a lot of people are in that situation. They have massive capital losses, but they paid a lot of money in 2017 taxes, or they had a lot of gain. And so that's where people understanding how to track tax lots and understand when their gains actually were during the year is really important thing for them to understand, especially in crypto. It's such a volatile market. So yeah, just a quick recap. So capital gains occur when you trade crypto. So most people have a lot of capital gain income, whereas anyone who mined crypto or had crypto staking income or baking rewards or people who got, you know, Coinbase Earn, airdrops, forks, that's all more other income, ordinary income on a Schedule C. And then capital gains and losses are all calculated on what's called a Form 8949. And then they roll up to a Schedule D. And then crypto that you get paid is ordinary income. So if your boss pays you, you know, in 50 ETH a month or 50 ETH a year, whatever. So that all counts as ordinary income. That makes your cost basis. And then when you sell it, you have capital gain income. So you could have two different schedules on your tax return that get filled in. The other thing is you have capital gains and losses whenever you sell crypto or whenever you spend it on coffee or spend it on software or pay someone in crypto. You know, if you bought crypto as a company or as a person and you use it to pay a developer or pay someone, now you have gains and losses that you need to calculate. And so businesses, as you can imagine, have a very complicated situation who are interacting, transacting with crypto, especially when it's their own cryptocurrency that they're using to pay people or they're selling, things like that. And so we have software that does all that. We have an account, you know, we reconcile all your books into US dollar value so we can file the tax returns. if that makes sense.
Great. And for the people that get paid in crypto, is that similar to like Coinbase Earn, where the cost basis is what it's worth when you received it?
Exactly. And so there's a lot of issues with people that get paid obscure coins that have a really high price, maybe on CoinMarketCap, but if you got a massive amount of them and there's no volume to sell them, so now it might look like you had 100,000 in income, but realistically, if you had sold them all, you could have only sold 5,000 of the dollars worth of tokens or whatever. So we've helped people advocate for themselves that, hey, when this coin was received, it was pre-market or whatever, it would have destroyed the price. So I know the public price was a dollar, but really the real value I could have got for it was 25 cents or 50 cents. And there's some value there almost certainly, but you know, you need to basically explain why and have evidence and rational explanation for why you want to have a lower value than what the IRS would see if they just Googled the price. And it's very common with altcoins because there are just so many random prices that no one could actually get for the coin. You know, we have a number of people who paid a lot for altcoins, the value dropped, they're down 99%, and they don't realize you have to sell those to get a realized loss. So they, right now you're just sitting there with an unrealized loss that doesn't do you any good from a tax perspective. So many people have lost money in crypto. You know, they put in 20,000. Economically, they actually lost money. Now their portfolio is worth 10,000. They come to us, but they have realized gains. Why? Because they bought Bitcoin and Ethereum. It went up a bit. They sold it, or it went up a lot. They sold it for altcoins that went down. They lost a lot of money. And then they never sold the altcoins because there was no market to sell it. Or they were like, it's down 99%. What do I care? It's only worth 50 bucks. Well, if you put $10,000 into it worth of Bitcoin at that time, now you have a gain on the Bitcoin trade, but you need to get that loss to cancel it out. So $9,950 loss would be really valuable. But if you wait till the next year to do it, and this is why everyone does tax loss harvesting in December and November at the end of a calendar year, or over in the UK, it's April 6th to April 5th. In Australia, you know, it's July 1st to June 30th. So every country has different, or some countries have different sort of tax years, which is fascinating. But yeah, that's pretty much one of the most important things that people can do is figure out what their unrealized losses are and then sell those positions.
Great. And for listeners, I hope you guys gained sort of some insight on what you need to know about crypto taxes, some of the new guidances that came out, or the new guidance that came out in 2019. Maybe you have to check yes on that check mark on the 1040. So one of the toughest things about crypto taxes is that when you compare it to something like stocks, if you trade on Robinhood, you get your statement at the end of the year. You can copy the numbers over to your tax forms, or you can give that to your tax professional. They know what to do. But with crypto, it's sort of all over the place. Can you tell us a little bit about how token tax helps sort of aggregate or put all the data together and sort of calculate the numbers that need to go on the tax forms?
Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback on one thing that I had said earlier about the tax loss harvesting. And sorry, you can just repeat that last question. But this is, you know, like a sample client data set. This person has $8,000 in gains and $100,000 in unrealized losses. So, you know, $8,000 in 2019 gains, had they just sold any of this crypto at the end of the year, they could have harvested these losses, used it to shield the capital gains, and then not owed any crypto, any taxes on their crypto. And, you know, that's something that you should do strategically before the end of the year. And, you know, here's just another piece about different accounting methods, how big the gain and loss shift is between FIFO, minimization, LIFO, which I can talk about different accounting methods. You know, they're all type of specific identification compared to average cost, which is the other world required in the UK and Canada.
Cool. So is that, sort of a what a user gets with the pro feature on token tax? They can compare different accounting methods and sort of what works best for them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We, you know, like I said, specific identification is all of the types of accounting methods. A lot of people get confused. Oh, you can't switch between FIFO and LIFO if you did one last year. You know, that's actually misunderstanding what companies have to do with their inventory. You know, for someone trading stocks or whatever, you can actually pick your tax lot, or you could pick which shares of stocks you sell every time. And the IRS clarified that specific identification is also allowed for cryptocurrencies. So, you know, people, there's just a lot of misconceptions, but FIFO, LIFO, HIFO, LOFO, highest price first out, first in, first out by date, last in, first out by date. All of that means you can identify which tax lot you have. And minimization is something that's unique to us, which is like HIFO, but we take your long-term capital gain tax rate and your short-term capital gain tax rate and actually figure out for you before you make a trade, hey, how much is your tax liability going to be if you sell that tax lot, this tax lot? So we basically help you sell tax lots you've already held for a year because long-term capital gains are taxed at way lower rates than short-term capital gains.
Can you tell us about your software and how you pull data from different exchanges? And does Token Tax calculate capital gains? And do you still have to go back in there and sort of fine-tune specific trades that might be correct?
We calculate capital gain. We support a lot of wallets. I think we have like 340 exchanges. A lot of exchanges have disappeared or changed names or been swallowed up by others. But we've got hundreds of integrations. Every time someone comes to us with a new one, hey, this exchange I used, you know, we have our engineers. We have a team under me who are just like Excel wizards. They're really good at data. They fix whatever comes in. They get your data in the system. And especially, yeah, for our pro and VIP clients, we have the lower packages, basic and premium, which are more affordable. And they're for people who are just using the platform on their own. It's do it yourself. If you want an accountant assigned to help you out, get everything in like a white glove treatment, that's more of our VIP and pro or our full filing. So we have a crypto CPA who will file your return, work with you to do the reconciliation. You give us all your other tax forms. But yeah, it's quite easy to add your data. You know, you just click, all right, Coinbase, you do OAuth, or you can drag and drop a CSV from any exchange. You can enter trades manually, upload tax documents here. And it's all made to be as user-friendly as possible. Shout out to my co-founder, Alex, our head of design and engineering.
Great. And with the rise of the DeFi space last year, can you tell us about how that has come into play at Token Tax? Have you guys built any tools?
The DeFi space. I mean, it's amazing the innovations that are coming. We love the Maker Foundation, you know, Compound Finance, Kava. We're trying to make tools, open source tools to help gather this data. We're trying to be working with the founders of these platforms from the beginning so they can figure out what the tax liability situation is going to be and what data we need. So we're not kind of like fixing it on the back end and doing backflips just to get the economic realities of what happened, which is how we're forced to deal with a lot of exchanges who have had their data models for years, not really necessarily thinking about US tax implications. But yeah, the DeFi space is fascinating. You know, when is it a taxable event? This and that. There's, again, great. And this will be a really fascinating thing for the IRS to take an opportunity for them to take a proactive view into something that I think is going to be one of the biggest aspects of crypto in the next year or two. And, you know, we're huge supporters of the DeFi community. We were at ETH Denver and participating in that hackathon. And we, you know, any DeFi users or founders or team members, we'd love to work with you, get your platform integrated on Token Tax. We're already working with most of the big ones and we have automatic integrations with many, or just people get us your data and we'll figure out how to get it into the system, figure out what your actual taxable events are, what your economic increase, whether it was interest income or you owe interest and you had capital gains on what you got for the collateralized loan. Yeah, there's a lot of gray area. We could do a whole nother episode just about that.
Cool. And I guess one of the last things I wanted to talk about is sometimes people it makes it seem scary to do crypto taxes, and some CPAs or tax preparers overcharge clients. I want to get your feedback and input because I know this is something that Token Tax sort of came to assist with, is making crypto taxes easier for the end user. And how does somebody know if they're sort of like overpaying for crypto taxes? Do people need lawyers and CPAs? What are the different tiers for what people need?
Yeah, I think there is a wide range of people that need different things. So, you know, if you're just have Coinbase and you're tech savvy enough to get your data in, figure it out, you know, you can use a software platform. If you want more of a white label, we hold your hand process. But basically what happened for us is we were working with a lot of people, thousands of people, figuring out their crypto tax. A lot of people had really complicated situations, had to pay, you know, took a lot of time, crazy margin data, this and that, had spent a lot of money with us to figure it out. And then all they had is a W-2 to add to their tax return. But obviously their tax return is complicated with all these gains and losses or mining income and FBAR disclosure, fat cut. If you traded on any foreign exchanges or any foreign platforms and had over $10,000, you probably have a disclosure that you should do. And that's a pretty important thing. And so we do that for our clients who are full file. What happened is we saw many accountants just charging thousands of dollars more just to take the work we had already done and add a W-2, but they needed to learn. It's understandable because they have to compensate themselves for their time, especially they're really busy during tax season. But for us, we were kind of like, hey, just kind of as a something for the crypto community, we had so many people asking us for a full filing. It's like, all right, well, let's just start offering this and have different packages for different levels of need. But, you know, starting out at $500 for people who have simple taxes like a W-2 and relatively, you know, crypto process that can be handled with one of our accountants. That includes all your FBARs. You know, a lot of accounting firms, they don't tell you you might need an FBAR. And then at the end, they're like, all right, you need 12 FBARs because you went over 10,000 on Binance. But once you go over on one exchange, you have to file for every single exchange. And that'll be $75 per FBAR. So, you know, it's like an extra $1,000. So we have fixed pricing up front. I think it's really important that people know, you know, when you're paying someone hourly, who knows? And then you know, they might work. We have so many horror stories of people spent 20, 30, 40, 50 hours, paid an accountant, never got their return filed. Every day people come to us who paid someone thousands or tens of thousands of dollars for 2017 to do like kind or do whatever and didn't get the return filed. So sadly, there's been a lot of horror stories, a lot of people taken advantage of. Maybe people just, accountants got in more than over their head. They didn't know what to do. And not even being, you know, unfair, predatory or anything, it just didn't work out. So we just wanted to create a place where we can solve any difficult problem, reasonable pricing. I mean, we have to pay our accountants for our time. We're a bootstrap startup. We're really proud of that. We've grown the team quite a bit over the last couple of years. But, you know, my co-founder and I have just poured our own time and savings that we haven't even paid ourselves a penny. But we love what we do. We're here pretty much every day on Intercom, answering customers' questions or teaching people about crypto tax. My background, you know, is finance, accounting stuff. But I also did Teach for America for a few years and taught math and made it about money and personal finance. It's just a huge passion of mine. And that's why we have our tax loss harvesting dashboard or this minimization algorithm, or just even teaching people what accounting methods are. And, you know, we love people to understand why wash sale rules may or may not apply, not just give them the answer like, yes, it applies. No, it doesn't. Cause it's just not that simple. I just feel like people need to be armed with that knowledge. And so, yeah, that's kind of what we've built at Token Tax. We have CPA that do the full filing, specialize in crypto, are experts in crypto, legal resources. We work with hedge funds in the space. We work with businesses in the space, big crypto projects. So we're a full service accounting firm that also has a really unique platform that we're the only ones that I know of that support every exchange out there. And we're getting closer and closer with them, building data integrations. Just every year, we're trying to make it easier and easier on our clients. So maybe you come to us, you sign up, you have a really messy situation. We fix you up for the last 3 years. But going forward, then you can be, you know, a self-service client, use our platform in real time. You can put in the mock trades and things like that. So, you know, we have the ability to say, all right, link to your tax lots. What's your gain going to be when you put in a trade? And that way there's no surprises like, oh, I made a trade. I didn't realize I'm going to have a massive tax gain on that. That's what happened with people trading crypto to crypto. They had no idea they were racking up gains. A lot of people just thought, oh, why would that be taxable? And that's what's so sad. There's thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who don't even realize they haven't reported to the IRS. They haven't gotten these letters. They haven't gotten any trouble. We're just trying to get the word out. Hey, it's not that expensive to get back in compliance, figure out what you may owe for back taxes, pay the 6% per year interest, whatever. Get ahead of this before you get a letter that's like, we need all your past data and all this, and there's a problem and you have to reply under penalty of perjury. It's kind of like many things in life, an ounce of prevention saves a pound of cure. So hopefully that all makes sense.
Great. And something that I breezed over with the DeFi space that I did want to ask is crypto lending interest. And, you know, Coinbase now has rewards, which is basically interest. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Do you have to report that if it's only over $600?
Yeah, definitely. You have to report everything, not if even it's over $600. You know, every day we get questions like, hey, margin trading isn't I don't have to report that, right? Or BitMEX trading, I don't have to report that, right? Or the answer is if you made money in any way, you have to report it. There's one way or another. Now, how you report it, I agree. It's ridiculously complicated. Our tax code is outrageous. In a future life, I'd love to be inside the system and just revitalize and rewrite the whole tax code to just make it, you know, there's no reason. Obviously, that'd be bad for business for Token Tax, but that's totally fine. We'll find other ways to create value in the crypto community, which we're, you know, lifers in. So the just the fact that in the US, 100 million people have to file tax returns. Our tax prep industry is so much larger than any other business, any other country. In the UK, almost no one files a tax return. Your business that you work for sends in that info to the HMRC, Her Majesty's, you know, their equivalent of the IRS. They send you a refund. That's it. You don't have to do anything unless you're self-employed in the UK or you have over $15,000. You know, it's a pound specific number, but over $15,000 approximately in capital gains. You don't have to report anything. Whereas in the US, if you bought Bitcoin one time, went down to your coffee shop, local coffee shop, just to figure it out, oh, they take Bitcoin. Let me try this. Send them some Bitcoin. You paid $2 for the coffee. You had a 45 cent gain. You have to report that on your taxes. You have to have a 8949, a Schedule D. TurboTax makes you upgrade to a higher level. It's another $50. Then you got an e-file for both. And all of a sudden, now your taxes are $400 to do, even if you're doing it on TurboTax. And so that's just outrageous, I think. And hopefully there's a lot more common sense and useful tax filing tools and reporting coming down the pipeline. And we're trying to do our part with that. In the meantime, we're doing the best with what we have and crazy data situations. Every exchange has different data, but we, you know, exchanges that come to us proactively before launching, we've seen maybe 7 or 8 use our token tax template, or we're just calling it like a standardized template. So it makes it so much easier for their clients. They download it. They already can just drag and drop it into token tax. No one needs to process it, or it's easy for them to process themselves or to give to an accountant. They can use any platform, whatever they want. It's a very standardized, easy to use format.
Great. And real quickly on the Coinbase has a statement that says if you have over $600 worth of interest, you may need to file taxes. So not sure if there's like a regulation around that. It's on Coinbase. But sort of ending the show here, what final advice do you have for I guess for the end user? Maybe this is the year that somebody gets into crypto. How can they make their tax filing easier for the coming year? Is it easier to stick to fewer exchanges? What's some advice for sort of making this a simpler process?
People will learn the hard way when they do their taxes, and they'll see which exchanges have really bad data, which don't. You know, oh, I used this margin exchange, and I used margin on this exchange, and now my gains and losses are crazy because of the way the data comes out. You know, so, and you'll find that out, unfortunately, the hard way. But yeah, use fewer exchanges. In general, as an investor, trading a lot isn't necessarily, it's almost certainly going to destroy value because you're paying fees. So you have to somehow do better. And you also have friction costs because you have taxes. So if you're up, you know, here's this common situation. People with Ethereum in 2017, they sold it for altcoins or they sold Bitcoin. Now, if they only held that Ethereum for less than a year, they had a short-term capital gain, especially people that made a lot of money or even over 100K, you know, or if you live in California, New York, you're paying 50% tax on that short-term capital gain. Whatever you bought with Ethereum had to do twice as well, which almost nothing did over the long, especially over a year or two. So essentially, if you bought an altcoin and it did 30% better, you actually destroyed a ton of value because you should have just held ETH. So that's just 101, investing 101, diversify a bit, don't put all your money in crypto, trade a little bit less. But yeah, to record your data as you trade. Every quarter, download your data. You know, Cryptopia, Quadriga, exchange after exchange goes dark, disappears, gets hacked. People lose their data. Now, not only did they lose some crypto, but they're going to have to spend tens of hours, you know, hundreds of hours, maybe recreating those trades. And this is something we do. This is why people sign up for VIP or gold. We offer audit assistance, audit insurance, but also we help recreate synthetic trades. So it's like, all right, you traded on Mt. Gox. You don't have your records, but we know you bought crypto. You bought this missing Bitcoin. We can like check the blockchain, check the pricing, find the minimum prices in those range, do it in a conservative way that we can recreate that missing data so that it would pass muster with the IRS under an audit. And they'd be happy. All right, you were as conservative as possible. We don't know exactly what happened, but we know that you paid at least $311 because that was the lowest price. So if we double click in and dig deeper, we're going to waste time, waste our auditor's time, and end up owing the client money, owing our client money. So that's kind of how we design our process. And again, it's, I wish we could give this away for free, and you got to pay the accountant's time. And it's a sophisticated process to make these synthetic trades in a way that's going to be fine with the IRS. You know, it's definitely a science, but something that takes quite a bit of manual energy and time and looking up the prices and all that. So we've had a lot of great back and forths and a lot of great success stories with our clients. And we're here in 2020 to help clients again for this year.
Great. Well, No worries. And for the listeners, hope you guys learned something about crypto taxes. I certainly hope it gets simpler in the future. Maybe hopefully it gets classified as currency so it could fall under that $200 sort of miscellaneous
spending. Yeah, if they had a de minimis exclusion or you don't have gains when you spend the crypto, if it's under, that would be amazing. Yeah. Just anything to simplify. You know, nobody should have to report crypto taxes because they bought a coffee for $2 and had a loss. Like in the UK, that wouldn't have to be reported because losses don't have to be reported. You can report them so they roll forward and they offset gains in the future. But if you have $8,000 in gains in crypto, you don't even have to report. So hundreds of, you know, millions of Americans who now have to report their crypto wouldn't have to. And I just think that it would be way better for the crypto community. It would be way better for getting people to think about it as an investment. A lot of people are so scared off by the tax implications, they just don't even want to deal with it. They won't even buy it. And that's disappointing to me because the more people understand about Bitcoin, about cryptocurrency, the more they're going to understand, hey, this isn't just the ICOs that people got taken advantage of. It's not a scam. It's actually technology is disrupting major industries. You know, Ethereum smart contracts are disrupting insurance companies. You know, a lot of different cryptocurrencies disrupting remittances that are really high fees, Western Union type of businesses. So that's what drew me into cryptocurrency from impact investing world, just seeing like what could be done with these technologies and the founders and the creative entrepreneurial energy. That's what sucked me into crypto and right place, right time with people needing to understand advanced crypto tax knowledge in 2017 when we started Token Tax. And it's been a wild ride since then.
Yeah, it makes it impossible to use ETH as money, but hopefully the laws change. And if the laws don't change, hopefully the tooling becomes extremely well so that we can use these currencies as they're meant to be. So for those listeners, if you want to learn more about Token Tax, you can go to tokentax.co and find any details in the link in the description below. And be sure to subscribe to This Week in Crypto anywhere you listen to podcasts and check out our newsletter at weekincrypto.substack.com. Zach, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Jose.